Let's continue reading verses 18 through 21 of Ephesians 5. Now, in these verses, we have the exhortation that believers should be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, beginning of verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. In the verses before us, we have another exhortation to believers. Remember, in Ephesians 4 through 6, we have a number of exhortations to believers based on the doctrine that we have in the first three chapters of the epistle. Here in this section of Ephesians 5, we have the exhortation to be filled with the Spirit. Now, when we get to our doctrinal points, we are going to see the characteristics of the Spirit-filled believer. But right now, as far as background goes, let's explain what the filling of the Spirit is and what the filling of the Spirit is not. First of all, what the filling of the Spirit is not. The filling of the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit took place at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. Now, when we become Christians, we are brought into that already baptized body of believers, the body of Christ. So baptism of or by or in the Holy Spirit is not some second experience for the Christian, sometime after conversion. No. If anything, your baptism of or by or in the Holy Spirit took place at conversion. But I think it's more in line with Scripture to think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in reference to the church taking place once and for all at Pentecost, and then at our conversion, we are brought into that already baptized body of Christ, that company of believers, the church, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Illustration. You know, I used to work for the Westinghouse Electric Company. Now, when I signed a contract with Westinghouse, I joined the company. I was brought into the corporation. But the corporation wasn't formed when I joined. The corporation was formed or incorporated many years before I, as an individual, was incorporated into the company. You follow that illustration? So the filling of the Holy Spirit is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, the filling of the Spirit is not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is indwelt of the Holy Spirit. We are commanded here, Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Spirit. We are never commanded in Scripture to be indwelt of the Spirit. Why? Because we are indwelt of the Spirit from the moment of conversion. Ephesians 1:13 says that when you believe, or having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says every believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the filling of the Spirit is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So what is the filling of the Spirit? To be filled with the Spirit means to be under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the comparison here, you see, of being filled with wine. Verse 18 again, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled here, by the way, in Greek, is in the present passive tense, meaning be continually filled. As an exhortation, it is a command. And so that brings us then to our doctrinal point for this section of Ephesians 5. The doctrinal point is this: believers should be filled with the Spirit. Believers should be filled with the Spirit. Now we have three subpoints for this one doctrinal point. And the three subpoints are three characteristics of the Spirit-filled believer. A, the Spirit-filled believer sings spiritual songs. B, The Spirit-filled believer gives thanks for all things. And C, the Spirit-filled believer submits to authority structures. Notice that there is nothing here about speaking in tongues or having ecstatic experiences in order to be filled with the Spirit or even as a result of being filled with the Spirit. So Christians who insist that speaking in tongues or having ecstatic spiritual experiences, that those are necessary, those things are necessary to being Spirit-filled, they are not reading Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. So here are the three characteristics then of the Spirit-filled believer. Subpoint A, the Spirit-filled believer sings spiritual songs. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we have a very similar passage of Scripture. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice the close connection between the word here in Colossians 3 and the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See that close connection in this passage? In other words, the Spirit-filled Christian of Ephesians 5 is the Word-filled Christian of Colossians 3. And this state of being is bound to spill over in the way we speak to one another and in the way we sing and even what kinds of songs we enjoy. What kind of songs do you enjoy anyway? I'm talking here about lyrics, all right? I'm talking about lyrics here, not form or style of music. Are the lyrics scriptural, like the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs of the early church? What kind of lyrics you enjoy may be an indication of whether or not you are a Spirit-filled believer. I think that's a logical conclusion you could draw from this passage. There's bound to be melody in your heart if you're a Spirit-filled Christian. There's bound to be melody in the heart of the Spirit-filled believer, making melody in your heart to the Lord, even when things are not going very well. You remember Paul and Silas sang in prison, Acts 16, 25. So that's certainly one characteristic of the Spirit-filled believer. The Spirit-filled believer sings spiritual songs. Number two, or subpoint B, the Spirit-filled believer gives thanks for all things. The Spirit-filled believer gives thanks for all things. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note, all things, even when the car breaks down, or your basement gets flooded, or you have to pay more income tax than you thought you were going to have to pay, or you become very ill. We can still be thankful because we know God is in control and He does have a purpose as to why He allowed these things to happen. Now let me ask you, are you thankful for all things that God has allowed to come to pass in your life, even though you may not understand why? Being thankful for all things is a characteristic of the Spirit-filled believer. Remember, Paul was chained to a Roman guard when he wrote this. Certainly he was a Spirit-filled believer. And that then is a second characteristic of the Spirit-filled believer. The Spirit-filled believer gives thanks for all things. Number three, or subpoint C, the Spirit-filled believer submits to authority structures. The Spirit-filled believer submits to authority structures. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. How about this as a characteristic? You know, I know a number of so-called Spirit-filled Christians who don't like this characteristic. They don't like to submit to authority, whether it's in the home or in the church or in society. And yet they claim to be Spirit-filled. They want to do their own thing. They have even been known to justify their refusal to submit to authority structures with words such as, The Lord told me to do this or that. You ever hear that one before? I know of a Christian man, for example, who left his wife and children and married another woman and justified it by saying the Lord told him to do so. No way. I don't know what voice he heard, but it certainly wasn't the voice of God. The idea of submitting to one another here in verse 21 does not mean that we just arbitrarily submit to every fellow believer. No, that's not the idea. It has to do with submitting to the authority structures that God has set up. Now, how do we know that? The context. From verse 22 on, Paul begins to elaborate on these authority structures. And the first authority structure that Paul takes up here is the home. The duties and responsibilities of husbands and wives and even children as you move into chapter 6. So Spirit-filled believers submit to authority structures. It's part of the character of believers who are filled with the Spirit. As the early Christians were filled with the Spirit, so today believers should be filled with the Spirit. Practical application. I think you can guess it, right? It follows right from the doctrine. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? First of all, are you a Christian? You are a Christian if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Have you done that? Well, that's to become a Christian. But now, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? You are if you meet the three characteristics that we have here. Do you sing spiritual songs? Do you give thanks for all things? Do you submit to authority structures? So being Spirit-filled is not defined as having certain spiritual gifts or having certain spiritual experiences, but rather by the three characteristics that we have here in this passage. Now, I do think there are special anointings of the Holy Spirit. Anointings of the Holy Spirit upon believers at different times and in different situations in the work of the Lord, but we don't program this. This is under the sovereign control of the Holy Spirit himself. But here, you see, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Do we meet all three characteristics? You know, I once worked with a Christian who claimed that he was Spirit-filled because he had had certain spiritual experiences. Well, he came to me for counseling. He was filled with doubts, and he wasn't thankful, and he had problems with authority in the home. Well, I couldn't resist. I remember saying to him, "But Carl, I thought you were Spirit-filled." And having shared this passage here, he saw the point. He was not Spirit-filled. He did not meet the three characteristics, as Scripture says, are characteristic of the Spirit-filled believer. Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? Good question for us to close on, right? We're commanded here to be filled with the Spirit. You say, well, how do I know? Do you meet the three characteristics? That's what it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian. So are you a Spirit-filled Christian?